Matthew 5:38, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Verse 41, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, to understand this Christ mindset. May we be reminded these words, Lord, of course, coming from the Bible, being the words of God, but not just from the Bible, from the very lips of our Savior. May we get it, may we understand it, may we live it, we pray with your help in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Let me explain a little bit about what was going on so that you can understand why Jesus would give this command. Matthew 5:41, for whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain, or 2 miles, is what that means. Now, during the life of Christ, the nation of Israel was under Roman rule. And trust me, there was no love lost between the Jewish people and their Roman oppressors. There was a Roman law that stated this: any Roman who wished to could compel. That word compel is a pretty strong word. It means to grab hold of and force. Compel any member of an occupied nation to carry his burden up to 1 mile. Now look right up here and let me explain what that means. This is a occupying force. These are foreigners that have come in and taken possession of Israel. A Roman soldier, a Roman citizen could come through town, and if he was carrying some type of a package or some type of a burden, he could grab a Jewish young man, a Jewish man, Jewish woman, and say, drop it on the ground and say, carry that for me 1 mile. And according to the law of the occupying force, that Jewish person had to stop what they were doing. I don't care how busy they were. I don't care if they were on their way to an appointment. They had to, by Roman law, they had to pick that burden up, and they had to follow that man outside of town and carry his burden for 1 mile. And so they could be compelled to do that. The Jewish people did not enjoy this. And so what they would do is they would go on the major roads leading from town, and they would measure out exactly 1 mile, 5,280 feet, and they would mark it. And so if they were compelled by a Roman citizen or a Roman soldier to carry a burden, they would do it, but they would not go 1 foot past what they had to do by law. And when they got to 5,280 feet, not 1 inch past, they'd drop it, and they'd scowl at their oppressor and walk back, and that would be that. Now, Jesus shocks the multitude here while he's teaching them. He introduces a brand new way of thinking. And this is what he says. He says, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go 2 miles. Now, you've got to understand that this was an astounding suggestion to the Jewish listeners during this part of the Sermon on the Mount. Now, what is Jesus teaching in this? And what is the principle, the mentality that he wants us to have as Christians? What sets Christians apart in this area of life? Watch this. Young people, I pray you're listening to me this morning. Listen, this is what Jesus was saying. Stop looking to do the minimum that is required of you. Go beyond that. Do at least twice of what is required by law. Go the extra mile. Go the extra mile. Now, listen to me. I want to help you this morning. Young people, when you are assigned a job or given a job or asked to do a job, Christians, As we are asked in the Bible and commanded to serve the Lord and do for the Lord, we can take three different mentalities, if you will, when we are assigned a job. Number one, we can try to get by with doing less than what we have been asked to do. And that is the mentality of many Americans. You know, all right, the boss tells me I have to do this. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to work and think and figure out and waste time trying to figure out how I can do less than what I've been asked. By the way, that's the mentality of many a young person and their attitude with their parents. Your parents tell you to do something and you fuss and fight and negotiate and work harder in trying to do less than if you'd have just rolled up your sleeves and done it and done what you were supposed to do. It seems like it's the mentality of a lazy society. This is what I've been compelled to do, commanded to do, asked to do, and I'm going to try to do what's less than that. Or you can do just what you have to do. All right, preacher, I'm not going to cheat them, but I'm not going to do one thing more than I've been asked to do. Okay, I got a job. And I work for an employer, and he says I have to do this, and so I'm doing just that, and I'm not going one step past that, because that's all I have to do, and so I won't cheat him, but I'm not going one step past what I'm required to do. And then there's this mentality. I'm not interested in doing less, and I'm not interested in doing just what I've been asked. I'm going to look for opportunities to go above and beyond. I'm going to do more than is required. Not because I have to, but because I choose to. This is the second mile mentality. Now, let me illustrate this real easily for you young people, so I think you'll be able to get it, all right? Your mom comes to you, young man, and the trash looks like it's regurgitating all over itself, all right? And so she says to you, take out the trash. Okay, so you're a young man, and I got to take out the trash. Take out the trash. All right, I'm going to take out the trash. What was the command? The command was take out the trash. All right, that's the command. That's the commandment given by mom. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to pick up the bag, and I'm going to pull it out of the plastic container, and I am going to not worry about the extra that's laying around there, and I'm going to take out the trash. Now, she said take it out, all right? Out means outside. Now, if I had to walk clear across the yard and put it in the trash container, but she said take it out, and so I'm going to pull it out. I'm not going to tie it off. I'm not going to secure it. I'm going to walk just as far as I have to because she said take it out. I'll open the door, set it on the step, shut the door, and hope the dogs don't tear it up and spread it all over the yard because I've got an important video game that she interrupted. How dare she? I was just about to become the champion of whatever I'm playing and a high score, and I'm going to get back to what I want to do. Now, young people, listen to me. That's the mentality that's destroying not only our country, but that's the mentality that's destroying Christianity. It really is. Now, young person, let me explain something to you. A second mile mentality changes your thinking concerning that command. When you took that trash out, what about the trash laying around it? Okay, reach over and pick it up. Is there some of the things that if something gets spilled on the container, grab a rag and wipe it off. Tie that securely. Take it to the location you're supposed to take it to. All right. By the way, let me just teach you young people something. Plastic bags don't just grow automatically back into the trash container. What I'm saying is this. You're not done yet. You're not finished yet. You're not finished until you put a clean up what's there and you take it to the right place. You come back in and you get, well, wait a minute. She said, take out the trash. And I got a bunch of Christians doing the same thing. Well, it just says, well, show me. It just says this much. I ain't taking one inch past that. I'm going to teach you that that's not the Christ mentality. That's not the way the Lord has taught us when it comes to His commands. Take out the trash. Now listen, you're not done if you haven't done it all the way. You're not done until you've completed the task. All right, young ladies, it's your turn. Mom says, I want you to clear the table and clean up the kitchen. I want you to clear the table and clear the table and wash the dishes. And let, well, I want you to look right up here. Some of you young ladies, you ought to go home this afternoon and you ought to just make a point to be a blessing to mom. I'm serious about that. Some of you completely need to change your attitude towards work. When's the last time? Come on now. I'm talking about if you're 4th, 5th, 6th grade, you can do this. When's the last time a meal was done and you looked at mom and said, Mom, why don't you go sit down? You've worked hard fixing dinner and we'll jump in and we'll take care of the table. Come on now. Come on. You know, how deep does your Christianity really run? Is it all about how much mom can do for me, or is it about it's time for me to start helping out mom? And so, but she says, clear the table and do the dishes. And so, okay, I'll clear the table. And you know what clearing the table means? Clearing the table means everything off the table. So you get everything off the table and you carry it into the kitchen, but you don't wipe the table. Well, she didn't say wipe it off. Show me in the Bible where there you have to wipe it off. She said, clear the table. That's what she said. And I'm not going one step past what she said. And if I got to do it, I got to do it. But I listen, that's what she said. Clear the table, wash the dishes. And so mom walks in later on, and the dishes have been, there's a sink full of soapy water, and the dishes have been washed, and they're all stacked in the other sink, and they haven't even been rinsed. Well, she didn't say rinse them. She said wash them. No, preacher, I was there. I heard her exact word. Wash the dishes. She didn't say, wait a minute. Are you done? Do you have a Christ mentality, or do you have a selfish mentality when it comes to life? I like it when it gets quiet like this. You know, kids aren't too happy. Parents are smiling. I like a sermon like that. Are you getting this? Listen, you're not finished until you're finished. You're not done until you're done. That's not how mom does it. You know what you do? You clear the table and you carry the stuff in. You wipe the table. You arrange the chairs. If there's stuff that had fallen on the ground, by the way, if you've got any kids that are 5 years old or younger, there's stuff on the floor, all right? And you wipe it up, and then you walk in and you put the stuff in the refrigerator. It needs to go in the right type of containers. And I know this. I have to do this every single day of my life. And so I know all about how to do this. And you carry the dishes. I'm going to preach to this side now. You carry the dishes. And... And you scrape them off and make sure that it all gets in a trash can so that the brother, when he has to take the trash out, doesn't have to wipe off everything off. And then you clear that up. And then and by the way, this poor generation, oh, preacher, it's so hard loading the dishwasher. Oh, my goodness. Dang. I'm going to help you moms. If your children ever complain about loading the dishwasher, then you shut that thing down for about a week. And you let them learn to do dishes the old-fashioned way, all right? And you know, they had to push a button. You know, well, no, I didn't. I had to bend over and find the soap and put in the dishwasher, all right? And wash the dishes and rinse the dishes and dry the dishes and put them where they belong and wipe the counters off so that when mom comes back in, listen, that's the Christ mentality. Now look right up here. This may not seem like a big deal, but I promise you, our society, you can, listen, I'm all for it. I think jobs ought to be kept here in America. It makes me crazy every time a corporation moves to a foreign country and takes what ought to be American jobs away from us. But I'm going to tell you something, American workers are as much to blame. I'm not saying y'all. I think there's an exception to the rule. But you men that are working out in the workaday force, you see it every day of your life. Guys trying to get by with as little possible they can possibly do. Walking around with their little rule book. Well, I'm not doing past this or past this. I'm not bending over picking that piece of paper up. It's not my job. Wait a minute. What a mentality. Wait a minute. Come on. That's not the Christ mentality. Okay? Mow the yard. Dad says mow the grass. Mow the grass. Oh, Dad, no, mow the grass. When I come home from work, it better be mowed. And so you get the mower out, and he said, mow the grass. So you start it up, don't check the oil, pray that it has enough gas in it, and you start the mower. You mow the grass. And then you stop wherever the last strip is, and the grass is mowed, and you turn it off, and you walk away and go back in because, you know, Square Bob SpongePants is on. And you can't miss Square Bob SpongePants. And you got to run back in there because of your maturity and your masculinity. You're still addicted to cartoons and video games. And then you got to check your Facebook account and all of those things. And so so you got to hurry. And Dad pulls up, and the mower's sitting out there in the middle of the yard, and it's not put away, and there's grass all over it. It's not cleaned off. And he checks the oil, and it's below, and you could have blown the motor up, and you didn't fill it back up with gas, and you didn't put it away in the building. And by the way, it's not trimmed. Well, wait a minute. He said mow the grass. That's what he said. I like these Christian school kids want to walk around with the handbook. Well, it says, you realize if we wrote down everything that you ought to have the common sense to do, we would have an encyclopedia set. I am not writing that. Well, I'm just going to tell you, parents, stop that nonsense and don't let your kids pull it. If I had to write down every right thing, all right, you want me to put this? Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Come on. I'm serious. I'm sick and tired of it. Do right. Go the extra mile. Stay away from anything questionable. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Good night. We shouldn't have to have a rule book that looks like a set of encyclopedias because a bunch of little lawyers are walking around wanting to argue about every single... Come on now. Where's the second mile mentality? Where's the I'm going to not just do right, I'm going to go beyond right to the point where, you know what, I'm going to shock everyone at how far away from the line I stay. Mow the grass. You haven't finished if you haven't trimmed. If there's grass sprayed all over the sidewalk, you're not done yet. You're not done yet. Get a broom. Well, he said just mow the grass. Come on, finish the job. Go the extra mile. Have character. Have the character to leave something better than when you found it. I asked Brother Rigel this morning, didn't I? One of the first things I asked you is, he said, I was the last one to leave the campground we borrowed yesterday. And I said, Brother Jonathan, I said, you know, is it good? And I said, listen, I can run over Monday morning. I can get Chad to run over and help Monday afternoon. Preacher, I think we've got everything. Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you something. To me, it's a travesty to ask somebody to borrow something and not bring it back better than it was. Somebody lent us, by the way, this backhoe that Brother Chad's been doing some work with. And kind enough to lend it to us. Brother Chad popped in my office and said, Preacher, one tire on it, front tire, is cracked. It keeps going flat. The other front tire is bad. He said, I can pick up a couple good used tires. I can find a pretty good deal. The guy's letting us use it for nothing. I stopped him right there, and I said, Brother, listen, he didn't say we could borrow it as long as we put new tires on it. He did not say that. Did he have a sign a contract? You know what? I stopped him right in mid-sentence. Like, Brother Chad, it's a no-brainer. If you can pick up a couple good used tires, let's get that back to him better than we borrowed it. Now, folks, listen to me. The reason I'm teaching you this is it's so important. What's happened in our mentality about these things has crept into Christianity. What a shame. If there's anyone we ought to go the extra mile for, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He went that extra mile for us. He went that extra mile for us. Listen, folks, I'm going to give you the way Christ thinks. Let me give you this. Always do more than is asked. Always exceed the minimum. Choose to do double duty. Double duty. You say, Preacher, is that biblical? Yes, you better believe it is. Now, I'm going to teach you something here. Are you open to Matthew chapter 5, verse number 17 there? Let's go back to verse number 17. Notice this. I'm so sick and tired of people hiding behind grace to try to be heathen and carnal and worldly. Matthew 5:17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Those are the words of Christ. Oh, we're not under the law. We're not under the law. Yeah, Jesus said we weren't under the law. Look at verse number 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. By the way, that's the law. That's the Old Testament law. Don't kill anybody. That's what he said. Don't kill anybody. Let's see what Jesus says. Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of counsel. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Now, are you getting this? The Old Testament law said, don't kill him. Jesus said, don't be mad at him. He said, go the extra mile. He said, don't speak evil of them. Don't call them names. But wait a minute, that's not what the law says. As long as I don't kill them, then that ought to be good enough. Jesus said, watch this, go the extra mile. That's what he said, go the extra mile. He says in verse 27, you have heard that it was said of them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Let me ask you a question, folks. Is Jesus setting up a lower standard than the law or a higher standard than the law? You answer the question. Grace, being under grace, not under the law, does not mean that we live less than the law. It means we go the second mile. We go the second mile. Well, you know what? The Bible just says, don't commit adultery. But I can walk around and lust in my heart. No, Jesus said, you know what? That's what the law says. It says, don't do the act of adultery. I'm telling you, keep your mind pure. I'm telling you, don't look. By the way, young men, you better learn this. Yeah, it's summertime. Temperatures go up and the clothes come off. Shame on America. The indecency of the average American is absolutely pathetic. It's embarrassing what I have to see when I go out in public and what these young men have to look at when they go out. I said it's embarrassing what we're forced to look at. But you know what, young men? You need to exercise character. You're going to look up and there's going to be somebody dressed wrong. You know what the Christian man does? He doesn't say, well, you know what? As long as I don't walk up and try to have and talk her into having the act of adultery, I can sit here and lust in my heart. No, Jesus said, I'm telling you there's a higher standard to live. A higher standard to live. How about verse number 43? You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute. What is the Bible saying here? God, Jesus Christ did not come on this earth to destroy the law, but to fulfill it and to give us a higher standard. Grace, but we're under grace. We're not under the law. We're under grace. All right, let me read to you what grace is supposed to teach you. Titus chapter 2 verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The Bible says, listen, grace of God hath appeared to all men, teaching us. What's grace teach you? It teaches you to be different. It teaches you to be a peculiar person. It teaches you to stay so far away from the world that there's no resemblance between. Listen, light and darkness. Light and darkness. The second mile mentality. Where's the line, preacher? How close can I get to sin without it being sin? Why don't you find out how far away you can get? Why don't you figure out how you can find a safe distance? I don't see anything wrong with that. Tell me something right with it. Tell me something right with it. I have one question. Why? Say, preacher, listen. If we're only required to go 1 mile, who in their right mind would go that second mile? Here's the answer: those in their right mind. Because the right mind is the Christ-like mind. The Christ-like mind. There's some, listen, I believe this. Why did Jesus command us to do this? There's some things you'll discover, some things you'll experience, some things you'll enjoy that can only be found in the second 5,280 feet of the journey. Let me quickly give you a couple things to think about. There are rewards of a second mile mentality. I made up my mind a long time ago. I'm not going to walk around in life trying to figure out what the minimum is. I'm going to try to do the maximum. I don't want to find out where the line is. I want to find out where the safe place is. I want to go beyond. I don't want to do what's less or what's expected. I always want to do more. I'm always wanting to do more than that. I always want to exceed the minimum. I always want to do double duty. And I think that double duty mentality is taught throughout the Bible. Remember the parable of the talents? And they gave one of his servants one talent, one two, and one five. And the one that had five came back with how many? That's a double duty. That's the second mile. The one with two came back with how many? And the one that had one that brought back just the one received this rebuke, thou wicked and slothful servant. I think double duty is the way to live your life. Now, why go that second mile? Let me give you some things to think about. Number one, the second mile allows you to discover a higher motive for service. A higher motive for service. Obligation versus opportunity. You can serve out of obligation or you can serve out of consecration. The first mile tests your obedience. The second mile, I believe, tests your love for Christ. What do I have to do? Watch this. And then on top of that, what do I get to do? There's just a simple illustration. And I've never forgot this. Happened several years ago. But there was a man that stopped by the church, knocked on the door. One of our men, they'd been around the place working on some things. They knocked him off the store, said, "Preacher, is there anything before I leave, is there anything else I can do?" And I said, "Yeah, you know what? I need to do this. If you could help me, it'd be great. Would you just run out and check the white van and make sure it's full of fuel, ready for tomorrow morning?" It was a Saturday afternoon. He said, "I can do that. Where's the key?" And I told him where we securely keep the key to the van. And he went to that very special, secure location and got the key. And jumped in the van and came back after about 30 minutes and knocked on the doors. Is there anything else? No, that's good. And I really didn't think of it. I was working and I didn't notice how much time had passed. You know, I thought that took a little bit of time. I walked out there. Before I left, I started to go to my car and I look over the van, which was dusty and dirty. And now it's sitting there sparkling clean. I walked over there and opened it up. And you know what? It had been swept out. I thought, I'm going to check the oil, because you check the oil on any of our vehicles most of the time. Sorry. Ask Brother Jack. Come on, men. You know, we shouldn't have a man that has to come check the oil in all the vehicles. If you drive one, you ought to check the oil. Okay, come on. All right. And I opened it up, and it right on the line. You know, all I said was this. Could you just go fuel up the van? And somebody, some servant in this church said, "You know what? I'm not going to just put fuel in it. Kids are going to ride in this thing. Trash can needs emptied. Floor needs swept up. Boy, it'd be nice if a clean van picked them up. Might as well check the oil while I'm..." What are you talking about? Listen, folks. This, what, how little can I do? Okay, I want to be a member of this church, but what's required? Could you write it out specifically? Here's what's required. Come serve the Lord with all your heart. Give Him your absolute best. Go the extra mile. Say, are those your requirements? No, that's the requirements of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm a Sunday morning. Surely God doesn't want more than that. Why don't you go the extra mile? Let's just take it a step at a time. Preacher, I show up for preaching. Why don't you show up for Sunday school? Go the extra mile. I show up for Sunday school and preaching. Why don't you swing in on Sunday night? Go the extra mile. Come on, this is good for us. I come Sunday, but it's tough on Wednesday because I get off work. I know, talk to the vast majority of our men that also get off work and a lot of times don't even eat supper. They come home, they race in, they clean up, and they head to the church. Why don't you learn to go the extra mile? Now listen, folks, I'm telling you, the work of Jesus Christ is not being done because we have a generation of people that are trying to figure out how little they can do for God instead of how much they can do for God. I don't want to give God that kind of service. I don't want to walk around saying, "All right, what's the rule? What's the minimum? Where's the 5,280th foot when it comes to this area of my life, God? Because that's all you're getting." I'm not going to treat God like that. The second mile allows you to discover a higher motive for service. Obligation versus opportunity. Number two, the second mile allows you to enjoy a higher level of influence. Now listen very carefully to what I'm going to teach you here. Here's a little Jewish boy, all right? And a
Roman citizen grabs that boy right out of his own front yard, doing a job already for his mom and dad. Grabs him right off the front yard. Come here, you. You know what the law says? Yes, sir, I know what it says. Here's my burden. Drops a big, heavy burden. Carry it. Yes, sir. Reaches down with a smile on his face and puts it on his shoulder. I'll be glad to. Roman citizens all of a sudden thinking. Now, wait a minute, folks. Who is serving Jehovah God? The Israelites or the pagan Romans? Who's serving God? Who are God's people? And so, all right. He expects this guy to grumble and mumble, and all the way he's whistling and he's happy and he's singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, and the B-I-B-L-E, and this little light of mine, and amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And he gets to the 5,280th foot, and the Roman soldier is expecting that boy to slam it down at his feet and growl and grumble and turn back. But the boy shocks the Roman citizen and looks up and says, sir, if it's okay, could I go ahead and carry it one more mile? Now, wait a minute. I want to ask you a question. You think about that scenario. On that next mile, as he's walking, if that young man begins to talk to that Roman citizens about the true God, the true and living God, Jehovah God, I wonder what chance he has to influence that Roman citizen to the Lord Jesus Christ. To turn to the true God. See, folks, listen to me. You know why Christian men ought to be the hardest workers at the plant, at the factory, at the coal mine? Because you're earning the right to witness. You're earning the right to represent Christ. Come on. Okay, if the world watches you for 40 hours, try to put in about 30, and guys know, come on, guys know, and then you want to sit down at the lunch table and tell them about Jesus? You think men are going to have any respect for that, any inclination to pay any attention to anything that you have to say? And so what it does, the second mile allows you to enjoy a higher level of influence. Go the extra mile. Go the extra mile. I can tell you this, but I've watched this bus ministry thing. I was in the bus ministry myself as a bus captain for years. I want you to listen to me. You don't reach people long term by going 1 mile. Look right up here. Let me help you. I can help you workers right now. Okay, what do I have to do? What do I have to do to be a bus captain? Come on, preacher, what's the minimum requirement? You do the minimum requirements, I guarantee you haven't watched a kid go to the Christian school. You haven't watched a kid go off to Bible college. You haven't watched a family, an entire family, reach for the Lord. You don't get that in the first mile. Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll help on a bus route, but I'll tell you right now, I can only give 1 hour on Saturday. And you're going to do drive-by visitation. Like drive-by shooting, you know, drive-by visitation. You barely slow the car down, roll the window, shout out the kid, don't forget to get up, and you move on. Because if I can get it done in 46 minutes instead of an hour, I'm going to do it. Because I got all this important stuff to do. Come on. Come on. You know how you change lives? By not just showing up, throwing a flyer at them, telling them what time to pick up. You change lives by getting to know them. You change lives by seeing a need and filling it. You change lives by building a relationship. You know how you reach people for Christ? You go the second mile. Christians, listen to me. Listen, Sunday school teacher, would you like to see one of those kids that you teach every week go on to really do something for God? You're not going to get that studying your lesson Sunday morning for 15 minutes before you run out the door. You're not going to get that by never getting into their houses and knocking on the doors and getting to meet the family. What I'm saying is, listen, the work of God's always required a second mile mentality. And when you're willing to go the second mile, you enjoy a higher level of influence. People see that you care. They see you're willing to be inconvenienced. You see there, you're willing to go the second mile. And then all of a sudden, guess what? You are allowed to have more influence. This last thought. I promise you this is true. The second mile allows you to experience a new depth of inner joy and personal satisfaction. You know who the happy students are? The happy students are the students that's not looking for what the minimum is. They want to live for the Lord flat out, full, all the way. You know who the happy Christians are? They're not the ones that at the end of every week have come to the minimum number of services they have to come to and done the minimum amount that they have to. They're not the happy Christians. The happy Christians are the second mile Christians. I'll tell you, I want to help some of you young people. I don't know if I can do it or not. I don't know if I can get past this evil mentality that you've developed and that you spread amongst yourself till it becomes a poison in your soul. Walking around grumbling about the basic requirements. And by the way, they're doing it because they listen to mom and daddy. They don't have a second mile mentality. Grumbling about the minimum. I just don't think. I don't know why we did. I don't know what they did. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. Probably. And you know what? You are a picture of joy and happiness. You walk in church with a big, happy, sweet, spiritual smile on your face because you know what? You're filled with the joy of the Lord because you argue and nitpick over where the line is everywhere. The second mile Christians are the happy Christians. The Christians, the young people's got a smile on their face, isn't arguing about where the lines are. They want to obey and go past obedience. They're not looking for the letter of the law. They're looking for the spirit of the law. And I can help you here today. Listen, Christians, show me what's wrong with this. Show me what's wrong with this. Show me what's wrong. I'm so sick of that. How come every young person, every parent that has that mentality are the sorriest people in their soul and spirit that you can be around? Where's your joy? Show me the joy of the Lord in your life. Why don't you decide, you know what, I'm going to go all out, flat out for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to look for the minimum. I want to look for the maximum. I don't want to do what other people do. I want to go beyond what other people do. I don't know. I was raised that way. I'm just wired that way. Why in the world would you want? You really have a satisfaction in your soul putting your head on your pillow at night knowing that you did less than what you had to or just what you had to, and that's a satisfying life for you? That's a miserable life. I want to be able to get to the end of every day and say, you know what, maybe I didn't do everything perfect, but I'll tell you what, I gave it my all. Maybe I didn't do everything as good as somebody else could have done it, but I did it the best Jerry Rush could do it. And there is an inner peace and inner satisfaction that comes into the heart of an individual who just says, you know what? I'm not looking for the minimum. How about living in the second mile, Christian? How about learning to live in the second mile? How about learning to go all out for the Lord Jesus Christ? How about stop looking for the bare minimum? Decide you're going to go for the maximum. Give your all and your best to the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, bless us. This morning, dear God, help us to learn to experience the joyful mile, the happy mile, the mile that produces the sweet spirit, the mile that produces the happy countenance, the mile that produces the bubbling over of joy, the mile that allows us to have extended influence in people's lives, the mile that helps us develop consecration instead of obligation in our life. Looking for opportunities. Wanting to do all we can for God. Lord, change our hearts. May it start with the little details of life. May it start in our own home. May it start around every single job that we're assigned to do. May it just become a way of life. Help us, Lord, to grasp, to truly understand what it means to be a second mile Christian. We pray these things in Jesus' name.